Well, are you all ready for the word of the Lord today? All right, get your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians. One of my pastor friends used to say, please turn your Bibles to Galatians. And when he was here, you know, I would say, okay, Galatians. Okay, we're not going to go there yet, but I'll tell you, I always have a hard time naming my messages, and I have to because of, because of the website. By the way, you can always get all of our messages on landmark-christian.org. And Rick has them up usually before the week is up. So I could have named this message many things, but it will begin our Christmas season. And I don't know that many pastors, doesn't matter what other pastors do. I'm called to this house, but I haven't really heard many bring these. Well, I haven't heard any bring these words, but I'm going to bring to you these scriptures today. But I want you to do that. I also want to say, Prudy, so good to have you back, sis. I heard you had a little round with COVID. You got all well and back. God bless you. Good to have you home. I'm going to call it, nothing can stop the promise of God. Nothing. When he promises you something, it's just going to come to pass. Now, those of you, and I pray that you're thinking about, not just thinking, but you will read your Bible through again in 2023. And if you haven't finished reading for this year, we'll finish that Bible reading. I'm a little behind because it takes me a long time to read because of the study. But I am reading through, and I'm in 2 Corinthians now, so I'm happy about that. So I'll finish. Soon as I finish, I'll start all over again. So you can either read the New Testament through this year, or you can start the Old and wound up at the book of Revelation. So however you decide to do it. But it's always good to read it as a whole. Because by the time you finish the Old Testament, you are so too through, you just want to go, because now I'm going to get some good news. And I'm going to get a little grace and a little mercy. But, my goodness, this is a dry sermon and I haven't even started yet. Don't laugh too loud, Portia. But there are thousands, thousands of promises in both the old and the new. But my goodness, you and I are so acquainted, and I'm so glad that we're on this side of the Old Testament, and I'm glad we're not living in the middle of it. But there were so many promises made in the Old Testament that now you and I can look back and see that they were fulfilled. They were prophesied to those, I'll say, poor people who were in such need, and they got these magnificent prophecies. Some of them saw them come to pass and some didn't, but you and I have. We've seen them fulfilled. And we know that Abraham and Sarah, and when his name was Abram, which means, you know, Sarah was barren. They were really old, you know, nearing 100, never had children. God gives Abram a prophecy. And he says, I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. Now, here's an old man who has never had children. And now God himself is calling him the father of many nations. Saying, look up, just count the stars, see the sand of the sea. That's how many children you're going to have in your lineage. What? But it was a promise and it came to pass. Sarah laughed. Sarah, you're going to have a baby in your old age. You'll hold a baby in your arms by this time next year. Oh, really, God? Oh, no, when God says something, it comes to pass. God said, Noah, you better build an ark. I know it has never rained before, but God said there's going to be a flood. And there was a flood. And God told David that you're going to be the king of Israel someday, but yet he spent time hiding in a cave. But when God says, it's just going to come to pass. Nothing could stop the promises of God. God told Israel that one day you guys will become a mighty nation. A little one. Just this little tiny nation. A little bit bigger than Tulare County. One day the Savior will come out of you. A little one shall be a thousand and a thousand, a mighty nation. Isaiah 60, the very last verse says that. It was a promise and they could hardly grasp it. And he says, one day this old desert will blossom. You'll hear the sounds of children rejoicing and laughing and going to school. And it'll be a mighty nation. In 1948, our generation, it became a nation. And we were there. In 70 years, they have built a mighty nation. When you walk down through the streets in the old Jerusalem, the schools are built above the shops and the houses. You'll hear those little children's voices ringing, and you are reminded of that word that said, ah, you'll hear the children's voices. You see the beauty of the Mediterranean and the Red Sea and the Dead Sea and the flowers blooming and the trees, and you're reminded where God said, oh, it will blossom. This desert will blossom, and it happened just as he said. And he said, there will be a Savior come out of Jerusalem, out of Bethlehem. It will surely come. Oh, he will be the Savior of the world. He will be the Son of God. And the government will be upon his shoulders. But never mentioned his name, Jesus. Nobody knew what the baby's name would be until the baby was born. And the flood, just like he told Noah, the flood's going to come. The flood came, just like he said. And then the baby came, was born. In fact, Isaiah said, oh, when the Savior is born, when the King of the world, when the King of Israel is born, you'll find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, which means milk rags. You find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger in Bethlehem. Just exactly what God had promised. And it came to pass just like he said. Go over into the New Testament, and he tells us, woo, there's going to be some major signs in the last days. Oh, don't worry, we've seen them, and we're seeing more and more and more. And he says, when you start seeing all those things come to pass, then you just lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21, 25. Oh, you'll see him coming in a cloud with mighty power and great glory. So that's soon to come. See, we're still on this side of that promise. But just like all those other promises came to pass, so will that. He came the first time. He's coming, amen, the second time. So every single one of these promises had a designated hour. They had a perfect time to be fulfilled. Now, if you went over to the book of John, about the third chapter, remember when Jesus went to the wedding and Mama says, son, they're out of wine. And he said, woman, what am I going to do with you? What did he say? My hour has not yet come. Why? Because there was an hour designated for the miracles to start happening, and it wasn't his time yet. Okay, so I said all that to say, if there were designated hours set for Jesus, don't you think there's designated hours for us? We're no less than Noah, Elijah, David, Mary, Joseph, any of the rest. So there are seasons and there are times and there are fulfillments. So let's look at Galatians now. I'm going to give you three portions of scripture. I hope you'll write these down because at least you will have them in case this subject comes up, but it'll just be something for you to look back on from here. Please look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. I almost named my message, what if there were no Christmas? I almost named it this morning. I was like, okay, I'm going to change it to let's talk about Christmas. But that's what I want us to talk about. I want us to talk about Christmas. So, and I want to ask you, what if there was no Christmas? Okay, but there is. Look at Look at Galatians 4 and 4. But when the fullness, somebody say the fullness of time had come, say had come. Look, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. How was he born? Under the law. Jesus was under the law, but everything's getting ready to switch over to grace. Okay, let's read it again. I want you to say those words with me again. But when, say this, when the fullness of time had come. See, there was a fullness of time. Jesus could not come before that time. He just couldn't. But when the fullness of time had come and God started totally backwards, then you and I would start. He sent a little baby. He sent forth, look, his son, not Mary's son. He said he sent forth his own son, his son, born of a woman under the law. Are you kidding me? He sent him under the law. God, this is not the right time. They're still under the law and you're going to send this baby? Well, I could just say right there, Galatians 4 and 4. Merry Christmas! Because he is Christmas. Christmas means Christ Mass. Mass, if you're in liturgical views of Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, you know what Mass is? It's the cup and the body. And Christmas really does mean his body and his blood. His body, his blood. Christmas. The Christ child, the Christ, the Savior. So we celebrate Christmas, but what if there was no Christmas? What if? What if that verse was not there? What if that never happened? What if God never sent his son to be born of a woman under the law? What if? Well, I'll tell you this. We wouldn't have a Jesus. There would be no Jesus. Because in the Old Testament, no one knew his name. He was God's son, but he wasn't here. There would be no hope for us. We'd have none because all of our hope is in Jesus. There would be absolutely no grace. There would be no mercy. And when we sinned, they would still stone us to death just like they did in the Old Testament. I mean, we would just be stoned, knocked out, dead. You were punished for your sins. There would be no forgiveness. Can you imagine not having forgiveness? It's available to us every single day. And then they only had it once a year, and that was by the blood of bulls and goats. If there was no Christmas, we would have no cross. The cup. The communion table would be all about when the people of Israel came out of bondage. Exodus chapter 12. It would all be about that little lamb whose neck was slain and they put the blood over the doorpost and they came out. We would still be celebrating that. But now you and I are on this side. So we celebrate the blood of Jesus and his body that was broken. And now we have healing and we have forgiveness of sins. If there was no Christmas, we would have no healings. We wouldn't have prayed over these requests a while ago because there would have been no hope for healing. No for Christmas, no forgiveness, no cross, no salvation, no Holy Spirit. There would have been no resurrection. There would have been no Easter. There would have been nothing, church. I mean, we would have been, of all people, most miserable. We wouldn't have this. We would have had no disciples. Think on it. We wouldn't have had Jesus. We wouldn't have disciples. We wouldn't have the New Testament. We wouldn't get to hold his Bible in our lap, in our hands. We would have had to go to a high priest. We would have had to go to a prophet if they were still around and say, what do you think God is saying? listen to this. We would have had no father. Do you know their father wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament? He wasn't anyone's father until he came to earth, as Jesus said, my father sent me. First time we heard him called father. And then when he died, he talked about your father and my father. Now we're grafted in. And now he's our father. Man, we'd have had no Holy Spirit to live in us. We would have just been on our own. We would not have the fruits of the Spirit. Woo! Think on that. Some of us are rowdy and we got the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, kindness, gentleness, peace, patience, self-control. He said, if you got all those, you don't need the law. There would be no gifts of the Spirit. No speaking in tongues. There wouldn't be any word of knowledge, word of wisdom, miracles and helps and all these beautiful things. It wouldn't even be. You know what? There wouldn't be a heaven. You say, now, Pastor, come on. Oh, no, no, no. Read your Bible, baby. If we didn't have Christmas, there would be no heaven. It would only have purgatory or paradise. And our souls would still be stuck in paradise. The Bible says when Jesus died on those 3 days, he was laying in the grave, he went to hell. And he went up into the heavens and he went to the paradise, wherever paradise was. And he loosed the souls that were held captive and he released them. But if Jesus hadn't come born of a virgin, see, he is Christmas. We would still be little orphans without a father. We'd be orphans. My little ones, they were 4 or 5. I don't know how old they were. But one of them said, Nana, is your daddy living? I said, no, they both passed on. Your mother too? I said, yeah. He goes, I think it was Parker. Nana, you're an orphan. I go, yes, I am, baby. And Ainsley says, she's a widow too. She has no husband. So she's a widowed orphan. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm really in a bad place, folks. Pray for me. But we would still be orphans if Jesus hadn't come. All right, you want me to prove that? Let's look. Galatians 4, let me read it again. Read those few words with me again. But when the what? Fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? Look at this. To redeem those who were under the law. That we might receive what? The adoption of sons. Hallelujah. Because you are sons, God sent forth his son. I read it wrong. He sent forth the spirit of his son. Where? Where'd he go? He redeemed them from the curse of the law. And he just said, you're the sons of God. That's who you are, woman and man of God, this morning. We're the men and women of God. And he said, and I sent the spirit of my son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father, I'm your daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Woo! I'm telling you folks what, those people under the law, they just went from rags to riches. You're talking about Christmas. Christmas came, it changed everything. You're talking about new gifts. Ooh, my goodness. He adopted them. My cousins in Texas, they went to China and they adopted some little boy and his little fingers were webbed together. And nobody wanted him in that orphanage. So they went there and Joda says, we want him. And the little boy broke out into tears. Nobody wants me, he said in his language. They said, we do. he didn't even know them, and he jumped up on them. And now he says, now that he's about 5 or 6, he says, she says, he still says it. He still says it all the time. I just can't believe I'm with this family. I can't believe you're my daddy. I can't believe you're my mama, and you love me. And they've had surgery on his little fingers, and they're opened, and they're, oh, he just can't believe it. These people must have been beside themselves to know that they were no longer orphans and they weren't going to be beaten and stoned to death for their sins. And the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus himself said, "Woman, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. You're a free woman." And those old religious fanatics couldn't believe it. She's no good. Well, Jesus got rid of all that mess, those sacred cows. But I'm going to tell you, let's not take it lightly, church, that we do have a Father. And we've been adopted. And if you haven't been adopted, you can be today. But Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer, we sung about it the very first song, Chris, that was so awesome. He came to redeem those who were under the law. Why? So that we could be adopted. So that we could have His Son's Spirit living within us. Woo. I want to ask you, church, do you remember the day that happened to you? Do you remember when He adopted you? I remember it. I loved the Lord from the time I was a little girl. I've always loved Him. But you know, there comes a time in our life where I think we are called to maybe a revelation of who He is or something, and this conviction comes on us. And I was about 12 years old, and I'd been at a Christmas play that morning, and oh, the conviction came, and I went down front and gave my heart to Jesus at that little Christmas play. And then that night, there were some visiting guests. They were singers, and they invited us down to be saved, and I went down again to make sure that it was stuck. And so I went home. And I remember I went to bed and I was still crying, and we got home from church, and I kept crying and the tears kept falling, and my daddy sat down on the side of my bed and he said, "What's the matter, baby? What's the matter?" And I said, "Daddy, I got saved this morning." And he said, "Well, you've always been a good girl. You've always been saved." I said, "No, no, not like this. I don't know, Daddy. Something else happened to me." And I couldn't turn it off. What happened? He adopted me. I guess I was adopted. And it dawned on me and it came to me. I want you to flip your page a couple of pages to the right. Look at Ephesians 1. We just saw that promise fulfilled. He said, "I'm going to send you a Savior," and He did. There was a promise fulfilled. Look at verse 5. My goodness, I'm telling you, look at this. I marked everything in yellow, man. I just didn't know where to stop, but I'm going to just look at verse 5, I think. No, look at verse 4. Sorry, Kathy. Got to keep you active, Kathy. Ephesians 1, 4. Just as He chose us in Him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption. See, God had this plan. Ever since time began, wherever that was, He just always was. But it was predestined that He wanted to adopt us, and we weren't even here yet. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, in the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us acceptable in the Beloved. He said, "I made you acceptable." When He came, when Christmas came, He was your gift and you became acceptable. But I had it planned. And He said, oh, He predestined us to adopt us. According to what? Look at that. According to what? Is it still up there? Good pleasure. His good pleasure. If you read that in the New Living, I think, oh man, it is the sweetest thing. It just says it just made God happy. It put joy in His heart to adopt us. when I see Joda and her husband and how they enjoy that little boy from China. I think of God and how he enjoys us when we come to him. And he has, hallelujah, adopted us. Now, you say, yeah, that's predestined, foreordained, so shouldn't everybody be saved? Yes, they should. But see, God said, you can reject me or accept me. It's up to you to accept him. It's not God's will that any man should perish, but all should have eternal life, but some want no part of it. Good example would be little Prince Harry. They were in the kingdom. They were in the royal family. He has everything he wanted. Anything and everything. Living in a royal family, a kingdom. And he and his little movie star wife decided to walk out. We want no part of that kingdom. We'd rather have California. We'd rather have Hollywood life. L.A., whatever it is. So they walked out. I'm going to tell you today, you can still come back. If you're not in the kingdom, you can be adopted today. We were adopted. Every one of us were adopted. And not one of us are better than you. We're all the same. So we went again. This New Testament people went from rags to riches just like them. So God was so happy. Now, would you do this? Would you go over to Ezekiel? And this is the last one I'm going to show you. Ezekiel chapter 36. You may say, well, what's this got to do with Christmas? Everything. Everything. This is what happened. You know when a bride gets married? What is that phrase, girls? You can help me. She should, in the old times, they would say, she should wear, maybe they still say it, she should have something old, something borrowed, something new, something blue, something old, huh? A penny in her shoe. Oh, that's okay. Okay, something old, something borrowed, something new. Hey, this is something new right here. Now, this is where God says, I'll trade you. Now, this was a prophecy, okay? This had not happened yet. These poor people were still being stoned and still having their sins forgiven once a year. And the priest is the one that had that big Old Testament book this thick. Okay, the people didn't have one. It was only read to them at the temple. They didn't have their own copy. Not going to happen. All right, but here's the prophecy that Ezekiel had. Here's what God said in verse 25. No, let's read verse 24. I'm sorry. This is worth reading. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the nations, he's telling Israel. It was a promise. It was a promise. I will take you from among the nations, and I will gather you out of their countries, and I will bring you into your own land. And I'm sure there were people there that heard this prophecy over and over and over, and they're like, sure, we're tired of hearing about it. We want to see it. People say that today. When you say revival's coming, I'm tired of hearing about it. I want to see it. Well, they said it then, so they'll say it now. But he said, I will bring you into your own land. Verse 25, and then, somebody say, and then, look at this. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. That just sounds like pie in the sky to these sweet people. Ooh, look at this. Look at verse 26. I will give you, this is a Christmas present right here. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. That means a soft heart. If you're here today and you got an old stony hard heart, it can't love, it can't receive, it don't like anyone, don't trust anyone. You need to make this exchange today. You need to trade. And he said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. Look at verse 27. I will put my spirit within you. Now remember we just read, I'll put my son's spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Okay, so now he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and you will do them. It won't be hard for you. You don't have to keep that law, for I'm giving you my spirit, and he will teach you how to walk in this thing. Verse 28, then you shall dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers. You'll be my people, and I'll be your God, and I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your herds. Oh, God was just so good to them. I'm just going to take care of you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to forgive your sins. And we're living on this side of that. We are so familiar with this. Does it still mean something? That we have a heart of flesh? That we have the whole God's spirit, Jesus' spirit? He said, God said, it's my spirit I'll put in you. And then he said, I'm going to give you the spirit of my son. And he will be in you. He's talking about Christmas. Yeah, we need to celebrate him every day. Yes, we do, but we don't. Oh, we do meet with him. We meet with him. We love him. But I'm thankful for the month that we have to just focus on these things. Hear what I'm saying. Can you remember the day that he did that to you? See, nothing could stop this fulfillment. Nothing. He promised Israel and a million things, a million judgments. Tried to stop it, but nothing could stop it. And whatever he has promised you, you say, I don't know if he promised me anything. I didn't hear him talk to me with these ears. Well, did you see something in the word that leaped off the page into your heart and you knew it was for you? You knew it. You didn't need anyone else to tell you. Because you got it one day. It was just you and Jesus, and you were sitting there, or you were in your car, or you were at church, or you were at the altar. Or you were in jail or a hospital bed. And that word came off the page. Your promise. And when he promised, you can just take it to the bank, church. He never lies. So I'm just going to say, you can start your adoption process right now if you haven't. And if you have been adopted, then know who your father is. Know who the Holy Spirit is that lives in you and honor him. God said, I will wash the uncleanness away from you. What good or what right does darkness have walking with light? No. If you're swearing and cussing and cursing, you need to stop that. You say, I can't. Well, that's not what he said. He said, I will cleanse you from all that stuff because I'm your father. I can help you. Don't get used to it. Don't get used to just being broke, busted, disgusted, and all that. He's yours. He's your father. You're adopted. Don't be some Harry and Meghan that walk away from the kingdom. Everything in the kingdom belongs to us. But it's up to us to believe it. Stand on your feet with me today. Wonderful Jesus. See, God promised to be our Savior, our Lord, our King. He promised. He said, man, I had planned to adopt you years ago. It was my plan that you would be my baby. And I'd take care of you and I'd nurture you. I give you everything you needed. I planned that. I knew that your little hands were webbed up. I knew that you had some faults and some spots and some stuff. But I still looked over there in that trash heap. But I said, I want him. I want her. She's mine, Jesus said. She's mine. He's mine. I know all about their mess. But I want this. And there's a lot of people, folks, that we rub shoulders with every single day. that are not adopted into his family. And he wants us all. And I pray that his Holy Spirit within me and within you, man, listen, it's awkward to testify. It's awkward sometimes. And other times, they just walk right into your trap. But I'm going to tell you today, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to start just setting it up for you. And they'll walk right over to you and say, you know, I've been having this. I've been dealing with this. And you don't have to shout out and pray some big old prayer and cast that devil out. All you've got to do is just say, let us pray. I'm going to believe my Father's going to do this for you. He has healing in heaven. He has it in heaven, and he'll just drop it upon you now in Jesus' name. So, Father, take a look at us. Come on, lift your hands to him and say, Father, I thank you for adopting me. I thank you for your adoption. I thank you for that day that you saved me. Thank you, Lord. We remember it well. Do you remember when he did it for you? Do you remember when you were adopted? Do you remember when you didn't really know anything about him, but he said, I want you? Like those old Uncle Sam pictures, I want you. No, I called you. I chose you. I chose you to be my man, to be my daughter, to be my son. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for saving us, for adopting us. I want to ask you today, I believe with this message, unless you reject it, unless you're just too embarrassed, and I pray you won't be, because sometimes it is embarrassing to step out in front of people and say something, but where else are you going to get this, church? You're not going to get this out in the world. You're not going to get this over there where you work. But today I could give you what he gave me. And if you've not been adopted, you can be today. And if you need to be healed, you can be today. I want us to begin to receive our gift, what he's given to us today. Amen. Come on now, just lift your hands and give him praise today. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. You are mighty and you're good. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to us. Thank you that we're on this side of time. Lord, your promises are being fulfilled. And there is more and more and more to come to your people who believe. And Lord, we are believers in this house today. I thank you, Lord, for those that came. I thank you for every healing. I thank you for every salvation. I thank you for every rededication. In Jesus' name. Woo, let the church say amen. God bless you. Amen. Just may the blessing of the Lord rest upon you. So we just bless you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, to your house, to your home, to your marriage, to your finances. And may he turn his countenance toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Let your church say amen. 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 Hallelujah. God bless you all.